News Talk Breakfast with Ciara Kelly and Shane Coleman.
In association with AIR.
On News Talk.
Anyway, the Minister for Health now will introduce today the Public Health Single-Use Vapes Bill. It's a bill introducing a ban on the sale of disposable vapes. And the government also plans on developing legislation to prevent the sale of any nicotine product to people under the age of 18. I'm joined now by Professor John Crown, consultant oncologist at St. Vincent's Hospital Group. I suppose that figure might shock people, John, that people can buy nicotine products under the age of 18. But look, what do you think of this ban, particularly with the single use? Is it going to work, and does it go far enough?
Good morning, Sean. Good morning, listeners. I think it's a move in the right direction. I mean, my own feeling is that we made a colossal mistake with the introduction of vaping many years ago, that we didn't regulate it to within an inch of its life and use it for one purpose only, which is smoking cessation. There is no doubt that vaping is far less harmful to your health than smoking. It is not harmless. I mean, the harms are intrinsic to vaping itself. It contains dangerous chemicals. It contains irritants. But the big risk, as far as I'm concerned, is that it creates new nicotine addicts. And it's become a somewhat more socially acceptable way for younger people to be introduced to nicotine. And many of them will not start smoking, but many of them will. And the tobacco industry, which loses thousands of its customers every year to smoking-related illnesses, has no alternative to maintain its market share but to create new addicts for its products. These, of course, are highly addictive products. And one of the best ways of doing it, it would appear now, is getting people vaping at a young age. We know that most smokers start smoking before the age of 18, and we've made that more difficult. Not difficult enough, I believe, but we've made it more difficult, and we need to do the same thing now with vaping.
And there's obviously a target on with the different flavours, the different colours, the stuff that the former Health Minister, Stephen Donnelly, has talked about. What about reusable vapes? Do you think there is a place for them? Because I know some advocates for them will say that they have helped people to break the habit of smoking, and while it still may not be great for you, it certainly, as you've mentioned, be better than smoking.
Well, again, it's easy to look at things retrospectively and identify the mistakes. But, I mean, I think what we should have done with vaping was regarded it as a medicinal product to be available only through, I know I'm going to get tons of hate mail on this one, but it should only be available through pharmacies, possibly only on prescription. There should be a much more intense level of regulation. It should be recognized that these are products to get people off cigarettes and nothing else. People will, you know, advance the libertarian argument that people should be allowed to do what they want, but The basic problem, Sean, is that we're talking about highly addictive, cancer-causing products when we're talking about most nicotine products, which are smokable, although vaping may be cancer-causing, we're not sure yet. And I do not believe that there is any right to addict children to carcinogens, and that is basically what we're doing.
And because as you say, look, the vapes are relatively new to the market. We don't have the body of evidence that we do have with smoking. What do we know about vapes and the cancer-causing properties that they have or other health damages that they may be doing to our bodies?
Well, the chemical composition of vapes is very variable depending on the product. But for sure, many vaping products have contained things like formaldehyde and acetaldehyde, which are known to be carcinogens. They also contained, in many cases, although this is, I'm told, being removed, a product called diacetyl, which is not dangerous from the cancer causation point of view, but it causes a really severe lung injury called bronchiolitis obliterans or popcorn lung, which is an irreversible scarring of the lung, which can ultimately lead to lung failure and in severe cases to death. But again, these are all the intrinsic harms of vaping itself. But to me, the biggest worry is the introduction of nicotine addiction to a new generation of potential future smokers.
Would you have any concern that if the vapes are banned, some people will turn back to smoking?
No, I don't have that concern at all. I think we need to make vaping freely available as a smoking cessation tool. What I think we need to do is regulate the way in which it is sold and marketed so that it is not something where it is easy for non-smoking 16-year-olds and 17-year-olds to take up this habit, thinking it's relatively harmless, which, by the way, it's not, without knowing that they're on a pathway in many cases to full-blown nicotine addiction. And the number of children who are vaping is frighteningly high. It certainly has become quite commonplace, and I do believe it's a nettle we need to grasp. Now, I think this is a step, together with other pieces of legislation which have come along, this is a step in the right direction. But I do believe we need to, and I know this will, I know many people in good faith opened various vaping businesses over the years and obviously are horrified at the suggestion, but I just do not think these should be freely available retail products. I think there needs to be a far greater level of regulation of their sale and dispersal.
Mm. How important is it that when this legislation comes forward today and gets enacted, that it also future proofs? Because the Taoiseach has described vaping as the revenge of the tobacco industry, that once they came in and were banned from pubs and other public spaces, as you've already mentioned, that their tobacco industry is going to be looking for somewhere else to make their profit, that if vapes are banned, they will just come back with some other product that is slightly different and addicts people to nicotine.
Well, again, I've said this publicly in my former time in the Shannon, and I've said it before and since. Our only ambition for the tobacco industry should be bankruptcy. I mean, I think we need to have a long-term strategy about smoking, which is not aimed at the rights of the individual smokers, but aimed at the non-existent rights of large, you know, megalithic international corporations to have a business model which says, let's addict children to cancer-causing chemicals, which is basically what their entire business model is based on. So I don't have any... I do believe that they are formidable adversaries. I think they've been on the back foot. I think they've been losing on multiple fronts over the years. In most countries, smoking prevalence is going down, and that's why we need to not see a resurgence in it due to a transition from vaping to smoking. So we need to be ready for them. As I said, they're formidable adversaries, but they can be beaten.
Okay, Professor John Crown, consultant oncologist at St. Vincent's Hospital Group. Thanks for joining us on News Talk Breakfast.
News Talk Breakfast with Ciara Kelly and Shane Coleman.
In association with AIR
on News Talk.